Richard Wolff, thank you so much for coming back to the show. Always love talking to you.
Well, I'm very glad to be here.
So let's start off talking about the debt ceiling. Can you explain to people what is happening, whether the debt ceiling needs to be raised, and if this is a substantive issue, or is this all political theater?
Well, it's 99% political theater. 1%, that's a stretch, substance. And the easiest way to understand it is simply to explain what's going on. The United States Congress has the responsibility of raising money for all the things that the federal government does and making a decision about how the spending is going to happen. So among the other things they decide is how much are we going to raise in taxes and how much are we going to spend? And now we get to the real complicated arithmetic. If you want to spend X dollars, then you have to tax that amount in order to be able to spend it. This is not rocket science. The Congress, handling both sides, decides on the taxes we all pay, businesses and individuals, and decides on what the money is going to be spent for. Social Security, student loans, a war, whatever it is that the government, federal government, does. Now, of course, you have to remember the political economy of American capitalism, which puts the politicians, the congresspeople, in a very weird place. Why? Well, because businesses on the one hand and the population on the other want the government to do things for them, to help their businesses, to subsidize them, to give them cheap loans, a whole lot of things. And the public would like, you know, pension for their elderly folks and all the rest. At the same time, the businesses and the individuals don't want to pay taxes. So the politician is caught. If the politician wants donations from corporations, you better not tax them, and you better deliver them the services they want. And pretty much the same for the mass of people, especially because the mass of people are taxed up to here over the last 100 years and really can't give you any more. The corporations could, but they have the money to donate to the politicians to make sure that they don't. Bottom line, the way the politicians navigate this impossible situation is by spending as much as people want and not taxing, particularly the corporations and the rich, who are the only ones who could really give money to the government. And how do they manage it? Here we go. By borrowing. They borrow the difference from the difference between what they're raising in taxes, which they've kept down, and what they're spending, which they've kept up. And by the way, Republicans and Democrats all do this pretty much the same. Differences of emphasis, not much. But this now has gotten out of hand over the last 50 years. Why? Because the politicians keep borrowing so they can spend their way to be reelected without taxing the people who have the money to give them. And here comes an irony, which if Americans understood it, we would see a big political change. When the government does not tax corporations and the rich and instead borrows the money that it doesn't tax, who do you think it borrows from? Well, here's the irony. It borrows from corporations and the rich. Nobody else is available to make a loan to the government other than other countries, and they are important lenders to the United States government. But the bulk of it comes from corporations and the rich. Which means, if you understand that the way our system works, it gives the corporations and the rich low taxes, but then borrows the money it didn't tax from them instead, promising to give it back to them after a few years and to pay them nice interest payments every year between the time they borrow it and the time they pay it back. So for corporations and the rich, of course, they would prefer to lend the money to the government rather than have the government tax them. So when you hear lamentations about borrowing from corporations and the rich. Don't pay it any mind. Those are crocodile tears. They are making out like bandits, having the government borrow from them rather than tax them, which is what it could do. So bad has this gotten that over the years, the Congress is beginning to worry, as are the whole world, that the American government is borrowing out of control. As it is, the United States is the world's biggest debtor country. We have borrowed more money from the rest of the world than anybody else has borrowed from anybody in our planet at this time. We are a heavily indebted country, becoming rapidly more so very quickly. And that's worrying all kinds of people, because the day may come, they fear, when the government will be stuck. It will not be able to tax us as people, because we understand that more and more of our taxes are not going to pay for any government service. It's simply being collected by Washington and handed over to corporations and the rich who've been the lenders to the government all these years. So to look like they were doing something about it, the Congress erected a ceiling. Notice it's the same Congress that decides what to spend and how much to tax that puts a ceiling on its own out-of-control borrowing. But of course, that changed nothing. So over and over again for the last 20 years, they've raised the ceiling to allow them to continue to borrow. It's absurd. It's a kind of make-believe, and it's major theater making the Congress look like they're terribly concerned. And that's where we are now. They kept borrowing, so they're bumping up against the ceiling. Now, what could be done? And here's where the dishonesty comes in. What could be done, if you followed me to this point, is that the Congress could raise taxes on corporations and the rich. It's what they should have done anyway for 20 years, but the corporations and the rich are flush with money more than they've had in probably their entire history right now. So there the money is there, tax it, then you won't have to borrow. So the ceiling becomes symbolic and irrelevant, and you've solved your problem. You haven't gone further into debt. You haven't violated the ceiling. You've done what you should have done. But that's not going to happen, because neither Republicans nor Democrats dare go to corporations and the rich and raise the taxes. The minute they do that, all the donations from corporations and the rich, all the lobbyists, will go to whoever's running against the folks in Congress and replace them with more pliable folks who will do in the future what they've done in the past. The sad thing is that the Democratic Party, which might hypothetically have been open to some serious taxing of corporations and the rich, gave up. So what we have is a very weird and dishonest conversation in which the Republicans say the way to solve the problem is to cut social spending on every kind of program for poor people, for Medicare, for Medicaid, all of it. Versus the Democrats who say, no, that's terrible. We don't want to do that. So let's raise the ceiling and keep borrowing more. This is a choice between two awful alternatives, even though a much better alternative is there. But neither the Democrats nor the Republicans are willing to go out and really run a campaign to deal with this problem in an honest way. I don't doubt that if you went to the American people, and I mean this, and I study Gallup polls and Ipsos polls and all the others, the vast majority of Americans would tomorrow support and endorse a program that doesn't have the government borrow more, that doesn't have the government cut social spending, but solves the problem by taxing corporations and the rich. It is long overdue. It's very popular. And nothing illustrates the capture of our government by big business in this country and the folks it makes wealthy than this spectacle of a debate between two options that are not the only options and should never be presented that way.